What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Number three, and the latest word coming from Capitol Hill, it's looking less and less like they're actually going to pass that spending bill, that emergency spending bill, and the current funding for the U.S. government runs out at midnight tonight. And so they're all going to go home, at which point we should close the doors, change the locks, and keep the keys for ourselves. Again, it's not a total government shutdown. What gets shut down are the things that the people need and want, and the things that we're not all that enthusiastic about, like the war machine and the CIA and the FBI and the NSA. They're going to keep on running smoothly along. Now, Tucker Carlson, I'm becoming a big, big fan of him, of his work. A couple of days ago, he did basically a Twitter storm, where he was out there reminding everybody of all these hate crimes that turn out to be hoaxes. And this was sparked by the most recent one, where this 11-year-old girl up in Toronto claimed she was attacked because of her hijab. And the prime minister got all over this and said, oh, we've got to be better to our Muslim populations. And it turned out she fabricated the story. So Tucker Carlson basically said, we got to keep in mind some of these others that were out there. There was that time an Air Force Academy cadet allegedly was targeted by racist remarks, and it turned out he'd been responsible for the act. He'd done it himself. There was that Muslim college student who lied to police about being attacked on the subway by drunken Trump supporters. That story fell apart, and she had to plead guilty to filing a false police report. College student made up a story about Trump supporters throwing rocks at her. That one came apart. A Muslim professor at Indiana State University lied about receiving threatening emails and being attacked on campus. Then we had this Ann Arbor woman, had to plead guilty to making up the hate crime. She scratched herself with a safety pin during her women's literature class. She blamed it on Trump supporters, but it turned out, again, she did it herself. Church organist arrested after he vandalized his own church with a swastika and pro-Trump graffiti in order to mobilize a movement. And he justified it by saying, I wanted to give local people a reason to fight for good, even if it was a false flag. Here's another one, a note that used the N-word led to classes being shut down for a day as student demonstrators accused the school of institutional racism. That turned out to be a hoax. A Muslim woman says she was robbed of her hijab and wallet by two white men, one of them with a Trump hat. It didn't happen. She was charged with filing a false police report. Three Albany students, something University of New York, Albany, claimed they suffered a racist attack on the bus. Turned out they had been the attackers. You know, more and more buses have their own security cameras and recorders right now. Yeah, and it just keeps on going. And nothing new there. There was the famous Tawana Brawley rape hoax that caused a lot of damage to a lot of people's lives. Turned out to be a hoax. There were a lot of rape hoaxes during the militant feminist movement of the 1990s. Innocent men got sent to jail. Families lost their kids for no real reason. Completely out of control. Now, here is an interesting story. And I guess it gets under the category of going green. Apparently, the Los Angeles Police Department made a big deal about supporting the green movement, fighting global warming. They bought a fleet of electric BMWs, $10 million worth. But according to this article that came on out in Oroz.com, the cars are sitting in the garage. Nobody's actually using them. You could send me one. I'll take good care of it. So let's get into human-caused global warming. It's still out there, second winter storm. Apparently, it's split into two branches, if you will. One is heading into New England. The other one is heading back down into Florida, probably going to be hitting Texas very soon. More than 2,000 flights canceled as 57 million East Coasters from Florida to Maine are hit with snow, ice, and freezing cold temperatures. As of today, all 50 states of the United States of America have snow someplace in their state. Some have snow all over the state. Some, it's only in the high places like here in Hawaii. But we do have a lot of snow up on Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, and up on Haleakala. But if you want to talk about cold, over in Russia, the Yakutia region, temperatures went down to minus 84 degrees. And that's Celsius. In the Fahrenheit scale, it's minus 119 degrees. It is so cold. The thermometers are freezing and then bursting. And apparently they're expecting this cold to last all the way through the rest of the month. Another 2 weeks to go here. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Okay, over at Agent France Press, they're running a story. Basically, climatologists who have not been on Al Gore's payroll are going back and looking at some of these supposed peer-reviewed scientific studies talking about how warm the planet's going to be getting. And they're basically evaluating the methodology that's in the papers and saying they're not credible. The scenarios they're putting on out are not credible. And Earth will most certainly not warm up 4 or 5 degrees Celsius by 2100. And basically saying these worst-case projections were propaganda. They weren't science, which we already knew after the Hadley Climate Research Unit scandal over at the University of East Anglia. Now let's talk about the flu. This stuff is serious. And whatever number CDC are putting out, their last week's numbers, this thing is just exploding all over the country. In Santa Barbara, over the last 2 weeks, 8 people have died of this flu, 7 of whom had their flu shot. Little issue we need to look at there. Over in Texas, the Bonham School District has canceled school for an entire week due to the flu to keep students from infecting each other. Yes, you have to do that kind of thing. All over the country, hospitals are running out of supplies. They're running out of room. People are always talking about a new pandemic like the 1918 flu. If one of those were to hit, we're clearly unprepared for that. Now, I found a flashback article here. Basically, it says that vaccinations could actually make the flu worse if you're exposed to a second strain. And this was done by microbiologist Dr. Hannah Golding of the Center for Biologics Evolution and Research at Bethesda in Maryland and colleagues at the National Animal Disease Center in Ames, Iowa, and elsewhere. Now, this study was done on pigs, and they basically vaccinated these piglets that had never been exposed to illness against the H1N2 influenza strain, and then later exposed them to H1N1, which hit them far more seriously than it would have otherwise. Now, the reason we have to be concerned about this, there are currently 3 different flu bugs hitting the U.S. and Europe. There's the Aussie flu, which seems to be the one predominantly here in Hawaii, the Japanese flu, and the French flu. And so people who've gotten the flu shot may actually be at risk, greater risk, of serious illness and death. Another flashback article, this from sciencemag.org. Apparently, vaccine-induced anti-HA2 antibodies promote virus fusion and enhance influenza virus respiratory disease. And rather than read you the abstract, which is very long and dry scientific language, the short version is they discovered this vaccine was actually triggering more rapid recombination and mutation of the flu. So don't forget to get your flu shot. They're still pushing that stuff out there. Another article coming on out from Natural Blaze reminding us that over the years, the Pentagon has been weaponizing influenza. And there have, in fact, been serious flu outbreaks around these government laboratories working on these bioweapons. So maybe somebody dropped a test tube someplace here. Another horror story coming from Tamiflu down in Texas. Apparently a girl got her FDA-approved Tamiflu shot to avoid cervical cancer, and apparently the family got a lot more they bargained for. The side effects included violent hallucinations and an attempt at suicide. Apparently the young girl used a desk to try and jump out of the second-story window in her bedroom. Fortunately, the mother caught her just in time. She also ran away from school. And when they finally got her to the hospital, the doctor told them that, yes, nervous system problems like psychosis are among the potential side effects of Tamiflu, although really it's just so rare, that's why we don't mention it. Well, it's certainly not a rare occurrence for that family. Okay, now here is another interesting article for those of you out there dealing with cancer, and sadly more and more of you are. Cancer rates continue to go on up, but apparently there's been yet another study, and as reported in Natural News, the study was done at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and they discovered that radiation and chemotherapy treatments that kill tumor cells were found to cause cancerous tumors to grow bigger and more prolific, and the mechanism, now they found the mechanism, is that when you kill cancer cells, it creates inflammation. The inflammation feeds the growth of other cancers. This study links chemotherapy to the return and spread of cancer. All right, let's get on to the area of computers. A lot of stuff still going on. The fix that Intel has put out is causing problems. It's slowing machines down, which they warned that was going to happen because it's disabling some of the systems on the CPU chip that were designed to accelerate computation, like the speculative execution system, where the chip actually takes a guess at what the next execution will be, the next instruction will be, and it does several of them and lines them up. So if they guessed right, the results are all ready to go. And that apparently is the weak point for security in the system. But apparently Intel is saying that the reboot problem has been identified in its Ivy Bridge, Sandy Bridge, and Skylake processors. It also affects the Kaby Lake chips, the most recent offering. Now, over in the world of Linux, Red Hat has slammed into reverse on the CPU fix for the Spectre design blender. Apparently, Red Hat was going on out there with a CPU microcode update. It was supposed to mitigate variant 2 of the Spectre design flaw in Intel and AMD processors, but apparently, at the last second, they pulled it on back, saying it's causing some systems to become unbootable. It's bricking computers. What a horrendous mess Intel has done here. So everybody is saying, why did it take so long? Why has this been there all along and nobody realized it, except, of course, for the hackers who were using it? And apparently it turns out that it was discovered quite by accident by a 22-year-old student. And the gentleman's name is Horn. And he was actually trying to figure out whether processors could handle an intense piece of number-crunching code he had devised. So he went looking through these gigantic manuals last year. There are manuals that tell you how the CPU chips operate, and because the CPU chips are enormously complex, so are the manuals. And he eventually got around to the process known as speculative execution. And he discovered that even if the chip guessed wrong, the data it had retrieved would still be stored and could potentially be stolen by a clever hacker. And working from Google's Project Zero Lab in Zurich, he compared notes with other researchers before his discovery was announced. So that's where it came from. Intel didn't find this. Now, hackers are now exploiting three Microsoft Office flaws to spread a new malware named Zyklon, which I think tells us what nationality the hackers probably are. And apparently it's spreading an advanced botnet malware by leveraging at least three recently disclosed vulnerabilities in Microsoft Office. The fully featured malware has resurfaced after almost 2 years and primarily found targeting telecommunications, insurance, and financial services. In other words, places with a lot of CPUs in those racks where the additional load of being used as a botnet is less likely to be observed. Apparently, this it communicates with its command and control servers over Tor, the anonymizing network, and allows attackers to remotely steal keylogs, sensitive data, passwords stored in web browsers and email clients. Zyklon is also capable of executing additional plugins, including using infected systems for DDoS attacks and cryptocurrency mining. Now, here's where computers are being used for less than honorable. So, this professor at Elon University has devised a so-called secret weapon in support of Antifa that allows this professor to keep tabs on at least 400,000 Americans that she believes are members of the alt-right. This is Megan Squire. She's a 45-year-old professor of computer science at Elon. She's developed a software for the hard left with the admitted aim of not only getting right-wing patriots fired from their jobs, but possibly killed. Because Antifa has been known in the past to violently assault anyone they believe is a member of the alt-right. Now, here is another interesting little story. We've dealt with this before, but it's worth a rethink. Apparently, there is a 14-year-old girl in Minnesota who decided to send her boyfriend an explicit photo she took of herself with her cell phone, sexting. She may be facing up to 10 years in jail and be registered as a sex offender. Because the state of Minnesota is saying that's an act of child pornography. And the ACLU is calling this a perversion of the state's child porn laws. And I'm fully in agreement. So the ACLU is calling on Rice County Juvenile Court to throw out the felony charges against the 14-year-old girl. Her identity is being hidden, fortunately. She's known as Jane Doe. And the girl admits a sexually explicit selfie to a boy she met at school using Snapchat, but apparently the boy, in a fit of bad taste, or widely, the court documents cited by KSTP-TV, and the boy is all being charged. Now, the kids are saying, sexting is common among teens at my school. And there is an issue coming up in the commercial. And I think child to folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about the situation in Minnesota where a 14-year-old girl took an explicit selfie of herself, of her own free will, and sent it to this boy she'd met at school, which obviously she was interested in. He unfortunately showed it to some other people. They're both looking at child porn charges that carry a 10-year prison sentence plus requirement to be registered as a sex offender. The ACLU is sending, this is a complete perversion of the state's child porn laws, and I agree. Nobody forced these kids to do this. They're just playing around. And the kids' own defense said, everybody at the school is doing it. They're all doing it. Now, let me share an insight with you. When I was a kid, before we had cell phones and cell phone cameras, it was called, you show me yours and I'll show you mine, where an interested girl, an interested boy would find some private place where they were not going to be interrupted and have a little impromptu anatomy lesson. Unfortunately, occasionally, the anatomy lesson would progress to something a little more, shall we say, physical, which could result in things like pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. Personally, I think sexting over a cell phone is a much safer expression of young people's emerging sexuality. You're not going to get pregnant over a cell phone. You're not going to get a sexually transmitted disease over a cell phone. So I wish they'd lighten up a little bit. This is natural behavior for for kids to do. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Mike in Alaska, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Speaking of cell phones, I wanted to ask you a question about Bluetooth.
Yes.
I recently got a Bluetooth headset, and I've been one of these people that I don't put the cell phone close to my body or I take it out of my pocket when I'm in the car. But I'm wondering, I don't know a whole lot about Bluetooth, and I'm really enjoying the headset. I've got, you know, I put it on and listen to music or listen to you, and I'm wondering, should you have a Bluetooth headset in your ears for an extended period of time?
Well, I think what you need to look at is the relative amount of radio energy coming out of the cell phone versus the Bluetooth. The whole idea of Bluetooth is they are very low powered. They're only supposed to reach a few inches, maybe a couple of feet. Now, that's in contrast to the cell phone, which has to have a transmitter capable of reaching the cell tower that could be a mile away. And so, obviously, a Bluetooth headset is going to be much safer for your brain than simply putting the cell phone right up to your ear. Personally, I just plug in a regular headset so I can have the cell phone down on my belt and I get stereo music and phone calls in my ears.
Right, yeah, I knew there was a difference. I thought it was quite a bit safer and, you know, I just thought I would check because I don't quite understand how it works. It is only a few feet in range.
Yes.
One other thing, Mike. I wanted to point out, with all this cold weather, maybe not in Hawaii, but in the lower 48, you know, we've been experiencing unreasonably warm temperatures. So it's actually, we had some freezing rain, got above the freezing point, you know, rained overnight. So the weather, my point is, the weather is always changing, you know. And I just wonder how these guys that have and all their life on this global warming thing are going to put that back in the box, that Pandora's box of global warming hoaxes opening up.
Oh, they're already out there with articles. I saw three of them today pronouncing that last year was the warmest year on record, one of the three hottest years on record. They're still trying to sell this idea. And I think they're playing to those human beings whose perception of reality is just what they see over those TV screens or hear on the radio. But for anybody who's actually out there dealing with these storms, they know it's a lot of nonsense.
Great show. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. And getting on back to the news, another article about Russia's constructing its own internet. And apparently this started last November, and they're moving ahead. And apparently this internet is going to reach outside of Russia itself to the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, in order to protect them from what is politely termed possible external influence, meaning keeping the NSA from breaking into their computers and stealing information. There's no reason you can't set up your own internet. A lot of communities are starting to set up their own civic internet to guarantee equal access. But hopefully that lawsuit started by those 22 states' attorneys general is going to push the issue, saying that common carrier does apply to the internet. And the FCC was being very capricious, just trying to, you know, do a favor for their masters over at the internet service providers, the big media corporations. But the internet is indispensable to us all, and it ought to be handled like a public utility. It ought to be managed as a public utility, equal access for all. Unfortunately, that means having the government manage it, and so far the government is trying to carve it up and give the biggest pieces to the large corporations. But hopefully this case will go all the way to the Supreme Court, and it will come on back saying, equal access for all. Nobody gets cheated. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we were talking last week about this fad, very dangerous fad going around, called the Tide Pod Challenge. And the idea is those little pods, you put them in the washing machine work with your clothes. Some are made for dishwashers. They're very pretty. They got lots of colors. And apparently somebody got the idea of just eating one. On video, and apparently this fad caught on. First of all, the chemicals that are in these pods are very, very dangerous, and Canada Health issued a warning on it. Well, YouTube has decided they're going to take down all the Tide Pod Challenge videos, and in this case, they have a policy in place in which they are free to take down any videos they feel are encouraging dangerous behavior. And in this case, I'm definitely on the side of YouTube here. Because this is idiotic,
a government watchdog
to be out there encouraging this kind of stuff here. Okay, stepping on back here to the immigration issue, we're getting a new story just coming on out. Apparently, in California, California's Attorney General Xavier Becerra basically said during a press conference earlier today, any employers in California who cooperate with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement in their rumored upcoming raids will be prosecuted under the California sanctuary laws. Boy, talk about between a rock and a hard place. Darned if you do and darned if you don't. If you cooperate with ICE, the state of California prosecutes you. If you refuse to cooperate with ICE, the federal government prosecutes you under Title 8. This thing is going to end up with race riots in the streets of California. I think the Department of Homeland Security needs to start going to people like this California Attorney General and the governor and the mayor of all these cities and start putting them in handcuffs. Now, over at Zero Hedge, they've got a story that is sourced from Popular Mechanics, so take it with a grain of salt. Remember, Popular Mechanics loves to make fun of the conspiracy theorists and anybody who questions the official story on 9/11 or TW-800 or any of the rest of that. But they've come out with this story. This is the booga booga to demonize Russia. And they're claiming they have a leaked copy of the Pentagon's nuclear posture review that says Russia has developed a new intercontinental nuclear-armed undersea autonomous torpedo. And they're claiming that this weapon has a range of 6,200 miles, a maximum depth of 3,280 feet, and a speed of 100 knots. At which point I began to be suspicious about the story. Then it was followed up basically saying that this carries a 100 megaton thermonuclear weapon. Now, the Russians only ever built one 100 megaton nuclear weapon. It was actually as a demonstration. And when they set it off, they dialed it back to 50 megaton. It was called the Tsar Bomb, and no way would it fit in a torpedo. But the scare story here is that the Russians have this torpedo that can be launched from a submarine, and it will just swim around the oceans. I don't know how it navigates. If it's underwater, it can't receive GPS. And then it will strike at an American coastal city. Booga, booga, booga. I'm not even going to bother posting this one to whatreallyhappened.com. Let's grab a telephone call. Art from Off the Grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, you know, you mentioned that Thai challenge. I remember hearing about that a little over a week ago for the first time and thought to myself, this just simply goes to prove what I've been saying about people for so many years about the ignorance and the stupidity level of people in general. We live in a society where when you and I were young, I think I might be a little bit older than you. I'm right around John Stadtmiller's age. So I remember when I was in school, we were taught electricity, water, not a good combination, as well as other things, bad combinations. You don't mix bleach with ammonia and, you know, various different things we learned in school. We live in a society today where you have to have warning labels that say, don't put this plastic bag over your head, suffocation warning. Don't use the hair dryer in the shower, danger of electrocuting yourself. Now we have to put warning labels on things like Tide laundry detergent because people are so stupid that they don't understand this is a lethal toxin. We live in a society of complete and utter idiots. I don't know how much more obvious this can become when we have to label
everything. There's another factor. There's another factor out there. First of all, there are people out there who know what they're doing is dangerous, but they're going to do it for their 15 minutes of YouTube fame.
Well, you
they want to be stars on YouTube.
I just moved about a month, little over a month, about a month and a half ago, moved from Missouri back here to Georgia to take care of my elderly mom. When I was in Missouri, we're driving down the road. Now, this is Highway 63. It's a state highway. Some lane, you know, some areas it's two lane going in each direction. This allows a passing lane. You take a driver license test, even though you don't really need a driver license to travel, but that's another argument for another day. You take a driver license test, and on that test, in the book, it tells you about these two lanes passing and this, and that, and the other. And But yet you've got to have a sign on the side of the road telling people, beware of a left turning traffic in left lane. Well, no kidding, stupid. What did you think those people with the left turn signal are doing in the left lane at a crossway? I mean, we have to put up signs for everything.
Art, the thing is, the companies that make and install those signs are making a lot of money, and they're very generous donors to local city governments. And because a lot of this is not about the stupidity of people, but about lawyers and others who are trying to siphon off wealth from other people's labor. And yes, I understand that you'll get certain products and they'll be covered with all kinds of stickers of things that really should be obvious. But the reason is because somebody gets sued at some point, and then a lawyer will say to a company, well, we can reduce our liability exposure if we put the warning stickers all over the product. And it doesn't necessarily mean the people buying the product are idiots. It is simply some lawyer saying, better we have a sticker than we can go to court and say, look, we warned them when they did something stupid. So if anything, the stickers are really for the 1% or 2% who really are dumb enough to do things like go up on a ladder on just one foot.
Yeah, I just find it very frustrating to think about the fact that we live in a society where we have to label everything because somebody out there thinks that everybody's too stupid to figure this out. And my attitude is simple, like the lady that tried to sue McDonald's because she got burnt by a cup of hot coffee. Lady, you went in first thing in the morning, you bought a cup of coffee. Did you ask specifically for iced coffee? Did you not know it was going to come hot? And it says right on the lid there, warning, hot contents. Hello? How did this lady even get away with suing? So that argument in and of itself to absolve people from lawsuits fails because even with warning labels, people still do stupid things. I mean, live in a society of complete idiots, Mike.
You know, you can't rule out the possibility that she went in there to get the coffee and deliberately spill it on herself so that she could sue. I mean, we had this story where, I'm looking for it, was just here, Al Sharpton's daughter, remember she slipped and fell on a sidewalk and sued New York for $5 million, and then afterwards she was photographed hiking in the Himalayas. Just like there are hate crime hoaxes, there are accident hoaxes. And it's a big problem for the court system. It's a big problem for the insurance companies where people will fake an accident or an injury, figuring they're one lawsuit away from financial independence.
Well, you know, Mike, I understand what you're saying, and to a degree, I agree with you. I just find it very frustrating that we have people out there.
Let me finish up with this other little story. There was a country in Europe, and I forget which one it was, and they tried a daring experiment, and that was they went on out and they took down all the traffic signs that they felt really weren't necessary. There were still a few that were necessary, and what they found was that traffic safety improved. And what they figured out was that a big reason that there were car accidents were people were distracted trying to read all the signs that were on the side of the road, and they weren't paying attention to the car that was in front of them.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, yeah, I just find it frustrating to every time I think about these kind of things, and this tide thing just supports my argument that we live in a world of complete and utter idiots. And I find it very frustrating to think that, you know, I have to deal with these people. It is just very frustrating. I keep wondering, when am I going to actually run into some educated people who have a clue? Anyway, Mike, thanks a lot, man. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk another time.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And, again, I think what's driving this fad, or what drove this fad, and will drive others like it, isn't because somebody just says, hey, this looks delicious, I'm going to eat it in the privacy of their own home. They're doing it on camera. They're doing it because they want to be YouTube stars. They want to have hits on their channel. And we've seen a lot of people do some very dangerous and dumb things. And if they get away with it, if they pull it off, they're a hit on YouTube. If they make a mistake, they're on their way to the hospital. But there are people who are desperate for that attention. And we'll do these things. All right, let's go to John in Alabama. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I love the title of the show being called What Really Happened. And when I hear about the woman who spilled coffee from the McDonald's, I want to answer what really happened there. I'm familiar with the trial record and other things. The first thing was McDonald's had a policy that came out during the trial that they wanted to suppress people getting a free refill. And they did that by superheating the coffee. What she went through the drive-thru to order her coffee. They gave her this super hot coffee, which most people do not get third-degree burns from coffee. She got third-degree burns in her groin. The burn center had already, local burn centers had already been telling McDonald's, we don't know what you're doing, but you're injuring people. The jury, when she went and got treated, she approached McDonald's and said, I just want you to pay for the medical bill. McDonald's refused. So she's stuck with a medical bill for burns that she shouldn't have gotten. When McDonald's refused, she sued. The jury, upon hearing all the evidence, the $9 million that everybody hears about, what the jury decided to punish McDonald's for serving this stuff for the sole purpose of saving 15 cents a cup because they don't have to give free refills then because it'd be too hot to drink, they punished McDonald's by saying, we're going to charge you one refill for every cup of coffee you served in the past year in that district alone, and that came up to $9 million. When you hear the real facts of that trial, it sounds reasonable.
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is if this woman got her coffee at the drive-thru window, she's not coming back for a refill.
Exactly. So why did they give her the super hot stuff? That's what one of the trial questions the jury was irritated about.
Okay.
So I realize
you do need to boil the water to make the coffee, and it only takes 140 degrees for water to be able to do a third degree burn. You have to be exposed to it for 5 seconds. Given those facts, I can see that there really was a case there. McDonald's definitely needed to get toned down on that one. Apparently, there's another lawsuit against McDonald's. Apparently, there is a certain way that they can hold those little cardboard boxes for the fries. There's a certain way they can hold them where when they fill them up, it's fewer potatoes. And by the time you get it in the bag and get it home, the box is sort of opened up fully and you realize you don't have all the French fries you thought you had. But in this hard economy, corporations are doing things like that because every single penny counts. It can be the difference between success and failure. And McDonald's really isn't doing all that well right now. This attempt to upscale themselves with McCafe has failed. They turned off their existing base. They tried to rebrand, and so they're actually in a little bit of trouble there.
But I think that's the thing. I always feel bad for her because she tried being so reasonable by just approaching them and saying, look, this is what the bill was to treat the burns. They gave her the runaround, and they never would have even gone to court had they just said, you know, you're right, we did something here, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, well, that's typical corporate attitude toward a customer. And I've seen it in so
that's
many other places. It's like that story about we did earlier about the Royal Bank of Scotland, where this bank boss is talking about the customers that went broke following RBS advice, and he said, let them just go hang themselves.
Well, geez. They were the ones, didn't they say last year they wanted everybody to sell out of stocks, too, because they thought a crash was imminent?
Well, I still think a crash is imminent. You know, everybody's doing whatever they can to hold it off, but it is imminent, and that's another reason why our government is trying to get the war well and truly going, so they've got something to blame the crash on.
Yes. Well, I hope it keeps not happening, because it seems like the attempts to get one going haven't been successful, but that's really not what we need.
No, it isn't, but again, all it's going to take is one false flag. Somebody fires a missile at Oahu, they blame it on North Korea. The U.S. is already in position to attack before anybody can say, wait a minute, let's make sure here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at how many wars have been started with false flags.
You remember the story years ago, this is probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and one of the senators came out with it where they said that a nuclear warhead had been intended to be detonated in the U.S., but that there were people in the military that took it out to the Atlantic. It was during Obama's time. You know, and we talk about the false flags, and it's like there's a number of things for... thank God there's still some people with their heads screwed on straight that can influence things.
But there are some people in the rank and the file who are just going to say, no, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to do that. I think you may be talking about that nuclear bomb that went missing from that plane from Minot Air Force Base. Anyway, listen, we have to take a break for commercials. John, thank you very much for the phone call and the update on the McDonald's case. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these words from our sponsors.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm already getting emails over the McDonald's lawsuit story. One of them says, millions of people use the drive-thru and do not get burned from coffee. Once the lady had the coffee in her hand, it was her responsibility to put it in the drink holder. That's a valid point. The woman has to take responsibility for the fact that she dropped the coffee. And let's see, we have this other one here. Watching an idiot walk out in front of a bus or blow-drying their hair in the shower is called Darwin taking out the trash. Speaking of Darwin and evolution, you probably heard of companies like Ancestry DNA, where like 23andMe, where you will basically send them, you spit in a test tube, send it on in, and you find out more about yourself than probably you really wanted to learn. And apparently there's an issue about what they do with the DNA. And apparently reading the fine print, you know, Ancestry DNA is owned by the company behind the family tree website Ancestry.com, which we used to be members of. But apparently their privacy policy in terms of use agreement have been updated so it's easier to understand them. And buried within there is the claim that once you send your DNA to them, they own it. Now, what they're talking about is they're not owning all the DNA in your body. They're owning the information on the DNA in case there is something useful there, in case there is a unique gene that could be used to better the human race or to make the better soldier. Ancestry will have the right to basically carve it out of there and sell it to the appropriate customer and make a lot of money. And that's another reason not to be sharing your DNA with them. There's been a big stink lately where a lot of places, hospitals and so forth, they basically claim the intellectual property rights over whatever you leave behind, specifically that DNA, because there's big money in finding unique, useful genes. Huge amounts of money to be made. Okay, now apparently paleontologists over in Russia, in Siberia, have discovered a new species of 10-ton, 40-foot dinosaur. That's a big dinosaur. A lot of people are very concerned about China's out-of-control space station crashing back to Earth somewhere between March and April. Tremendous amount of concern that it is carrying as fuel a great deal of hydrazine, which is a very toxic, dangerous chemical. Now, presumably, if on reentry the tanks rupture, the hydrazine will decompose from the heat of reentry. But if any of the tanks were to survive intact, there's going to be a hazardous material issue wherever it lands. So they're still monitoring that, and like I said, it's going to come down a couple of months here. Story out of the Daily Mail in Great Britain. Apparently, researchers in China have put forward a new idea to take care of space junk, which is becoming a major problem. They're claiming they're going to be able to use space-based lasers to basically zap large space junk into smaller space junk to make them a little less harmful. Also, I might add, impossible to track. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. Please stay tuned for the John Steadmiller program. He's got lots of interesting things to share with you. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, take what you learn here, share it with other people. Just talk to people around you. We've got to stop this insane rush to war before we really do have a ballistic missile headed our way. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.